Now, on Bulldog Live, it's Second Amendment Tuesday. Joining Bulldog is attorney Penny Dean.
Well, we'd like to talk about how to exercise your Second Amendment rights, and it's more than just strapping a gun to your side and walking down the street. We'll tell you where else you can do that on you to exercise your Second Amendment rights with Penny Dean.
Now, I know the Constitution, and it gives me certain rights that I will never, ever give up. At least not without a fight. So if anybody's even thinking they're gonna take my guns away, like the good old boys down in Gonzales, I got one thing to say. Come on, make my day.
Come and take it if you want it. Come and take it if you think you can. Come and take it, but I warn you, you'll have to pry it from my cold dead hands. We want the freedom that God gave us, so you best not cross that line. If you want this gun, you gotta come through us and take it.
One shot at a time.
1-866-823-1077 is our phone number where you can call in this week as we have Penny Dean joining us live on the phone again. Hi, Penny.
Hey, how are you?
Oh, my goodness. It's been another busy week for me here.
You know what? There's always people trying to cause trouble.
Yeah. Oh, really? I didn't know that.
Always.
You know, sometimes I get confused in the process.
That's exactly right. You know, what can I say? Now,
that confusion is only temporary, though.
Yeah,
I can assure
that's
you.
That's exactly right. You know, what can I say? Now, let me tell you, part of our talk for today is called voting with your dollars.
Okay.
So, and here's what I tell people. If you're a Democrat or Republican, whatever you are, okay? If you're a Democrat, would you give money to the Republican Party?
Nope.
Same way with vice versa.
Mm-hmm.
So I say to people, there's a million ways that we firearm owners can vote with our dollars.
Okay.
And let me tell you about a call I received this morning. About 10 o'clock this morning, I get a call, and this woman from 229-3535 says, "Hi, I'm Liz from Citizens Bank, and we're calling local attorneys, and we'd like to offer them, you know, our banking services, you know, see if we can be competitive with your bank, and you know the whole bit, right?"
Sure.
And I said, "Okay." I said, "But I have a few questions for you before I set up an appointment." Yeah, I'm going to interview the interviewer, right?
Yeah, I love this.
And so the first thing I said, you know, what if... I said, you know, and I thought I knew the answer, but I always like to hear it from the horse's mouth, okay? Because I've had a lot of clients who tell me this, but I figured I'll ask for myself. I said, you know, I've been thinking about buying a gun store. I said, would you guys loan me money to buy a gun store? The words weren't out of my mouth, and you know what her answer was? A vehement, no, we don't do business with gun stores.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, and I've had
Who is this this lady that called you? Now, what was she? Was she just a sales rep, or was she a manager who could really speak on authority to that?
Well, she hung up before I could go any further with her.
I know that feeling with press conferences. Yes, continue.
Yeah, but here's what I can tell you. I can tell you three things. Number one, I have caller ID, and it said Citizens Bank, and the number on my caller ID was 229-3535.
Okay.
Okay, so unless my caller ID is lying, she said her name was Liz, uh-huh. And I have had clients who own gun stores who, when they go, let's say they want to expand or maybe a client's buying a gun store, have told me that Citizens won't lend them money.
Okay. Well, that's kind of their prerogative.
That absolutely is their prerogative, and I don't disagree, but it's our prerogative to do business with another bank.
There you go.
You know, and I always tell people is that...
I wonder if Citizens Bank is a gun-free zone.
That's a good question.
I think the people on South Willow Street would disagree.
You know what? And so...
Given some of the clientele that comes in, you know what I mean?
Yep. You know, that's exactly right. That's exactly... And so here's what I always tell
people... Parole violators, SB 500 and the like, yes?
Yeah. I tell people that you should vote with your pocketbooks. For example, you know that there's a jewelry store on Loudoun Road that has a sign, "No firearms allowed."
Are you serious?
Didn't I ever tell you the story?
Oh, yes, you did. I remember now.
Yeah,
okay.
That's what I'm
yes.
saying. So the bottom line is that there are businesses out there, and I respect a private business has a right to make what they can say. No women in pink can walk in. That's their right. Okay? As long as they're not discriminating on race or gender or certain things that are against the law, they can absolutely, as a private business, say that we do or don't want anybody or not in their store. No problem. Mm-hmm. But by the same token, then we can choose not to patronize their business.
Exactly.
You know, and so that's the bottom line. I just thought people should ask their bank, ask their CPA, ask their dentist, ask their doctor, ask whoever, you know, how they feel about things, because why wouldn't you want to promote and, you know, help ProFarms people?
Sure. Well, I mean, hey, look, yeah, there's quite a few of us out there, you know?
Absolutely. We make a huge amount.
I was at a lab, you know, to have some blood work done, and I didn't stick around very long. I thought the place was just a horrible mess. But, you know, I'm sitting in the lobby waiting, and there's no receptions. There's no nothing there. It's just a bunch of stupid signs to kind of, like, tell you, hey, have a seat here, sign this, and wait your turn. Oh, you can't go in here. You can't go over here. And then the sign says, no firearms allowed on premises. So I'm like, okay. And then I look at another sign, no cell phones with cameras allowed on premises. I'm going, what the heck is this going on in here? I just got up and left.
Absolutely, because how many of us, like, for example, I have this fancy-pantsy BlackBerry, don't know how to use it. I can make phone calls. I've now learned how to take pictures with it. Turns out the darn thing will do everything but do backflips for you.
Uh-huh.
If you're a four-year-old kid that's technically qualified.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, because if you want to know how to use these fancy-pantsy things, hand it to any three- or four-year-old that can barely walk, and they'll show you how to use them, you know? You know, but if you have someone like me who I have a BlackBerry just because it's convenient and does have some features I need, but the bottom line is that, you know, people really need to look at, you know, what's going on, what's happening, who they're supporting.
Mm-hmm.
Now, today, we have a lot of people may or may not be aware of, because the New Hampshire General Court this year, things have went pretty darn fast. You know, we've went from this to that. Bills have bounced back and forth. But today, at least as we speak, or at least I believe as we speak, at 1 o'clock today, SB 88 is supposedly being heard in the House. Okay.
What does SB 88 do?
Well, here's what it does. First of all, people, and this is the way things are done in New Hampshire, and I just want to take a minute to explain to people. And people say, wait a minute, SB 88 is a Senate bill. I go, yes, it is. And they go, it's being heard in the House. I go, yes, it is. Because, of course, bills go back and forth. Because, for example, last week we had two House bills being heard in the Senate. And the reason I'm telling you this is I was really surprised at the amount of people this confuses. And so I always, I say, geez, you guys didn't pay attention when you were taking social, at least when I was in school, it was called social studies.
Right, that's what it was when I was too, yes.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Social studies. Now they call it government affairs or current events. But anyway, it's amazing to me the amount of people that we sometimes have to explain what I call the legislative process to. You know, about how it starts in the House, it may start in the House or may start in the Senate, and then it has to be adopted by the other body word by word and then goes to the governor's desk. So today, SB 88 is being heard in the House, and what it's supposed to do, it's a form of one of the many castle and brandishing bills that have been heard this year. And here's what I tell people. Have you ever bought a multi-use tool that says it does five things?
Yes.
Does it ever do anything as good as each of the single five tools do?
Of course not.
Yeah, that's why you buy five individual tools. It's a pain in your foot, but it's the way it is.
Mm-hmm.
This bill, SB 88, in my mind anyhow, melds a form of castle and brandishing and puts them all in one. And basically, it's designed to amend RSA 627-4, which is basically the note of affirmative defenses. So, for example, if you are charged in any type of brandishing or any type of displaying of a firearm, you know how they typically charge people, at least in New Hampshire, with criminal threatening?
Mm-hmm.
This bill is designed to basically clarify and expand the right to self-defense. And I think the bottom line is it has a lot of really, really good intentions. It's a good idea, but I think it's a bill that really needs to be held over because it's poorly worded. It needs to have the language cleaned up. Because here's what I tell people. You have, in my opinion, a lot of very anti-firearm and anti-self-defense prosecutors, police, and judges in this state, sadly, which is why we get people like, for example, you know, I call Ward Byrd because he's the face of it, but there's countless
right.
others like him out there that are charged in situations where they shouldn't even be charged to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
And so what you need and what we want is legislation. Nothing's ever going to completely prohibit that, but to greatly lessen the amount of people that have to go through that pain.
Yes.
And so SB 88 attempts to do that. And it's come from the Senate over to the House. And it basically talks about, it makes what should be a very simple concept very difficult, because it says, for example, 627:4, number 3 to read, a person is not justified in using deadly force on another to defend himself or herself or a third person from deadly force by the other if he or she knows that he or she and the third person can with complete safety, and there's a colon there, and it goes into several things. But instead of having an affirmative right to defend themselves, they're saying you're not justified in using deadly force. And there's something... You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
We're starting off with a negative. Now, why...
Was this what we were talking about the other week about how this would leave the exception in that if somebody claims a right to your property, that you have to give it over to them, that you have no right to defend your property? Is this the same bill?
I don't believe so. There has been four or five of these bills that were very similar. There were two, what some people consider similar bills, heard last Thursday in the Senate, which was HB 210 and HB, I want to say, 378. And the bottom line is, in this instance, as we have had more bills, what I call firearm-related bills, introduced this session than I recall in the past 16 years.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's been very, very hard. I tell people to watch the bouncing ball.
And many of them have been, let's say flawed.
Yes, that's exactly, that would exactly be... one of the terms, and some of them were well-meaning bills.
Sure.
But they quite frankly were horribly flawed. Some of them would have done more harm than good.
Right.
And so that's been the reason. But just
and that's where it's up to us to educate our legislators about those flaws, because they just say, hey, look, this expands your right to carry a gun. You don't need a license here. Oh, that's simple. I like that. Not as simple as it seems.
That's exactly right. You know the old saying, the devil's in the details?
Uh-huh.
Yep, and so for anyone who has an opportunity or time, the House Criminal Justice and Public Safety Committee is hearing SB 88 at 1 p.m. today in room 204.
Okay.
And anyone who ever goes to the State House, and it's called the LOB, the Legislative Office Building, the old post office, if you will, you just go in the front doors, and you can take the elevator right up the second floor. If you go to the second floor, you turn to the right, go down the hallway. It's about the third doorway on the right. And at least in my time in New Hampshire, to the best of my knowledge, I always recall Criminal Justice and Public Safety. They've had the same room forever.
Okay.
And so once people go there, they can easily find it. And the reason I say this, I'm always sad, and sometimes as we see, other than really, really big hot-button issues, we see the same people there again and again and again, and it's always great if new people show up and help, and if they can't show up, to certainly write or email or call their reps. But this bill, to continue with it, and it does have some of the language you talked about, it's, after the colon, it says surrender property to a person asserting a claim of right thereto, or comply with the demand that he or she abstain from performing an act which he or she is not obliged to perform. And what I'm trying to say is this language, I think, is unnecessarily complex.
Mm-hmm.
And quite frankly, it's not clear.
Well, that last part that you just read really is baffling, because I couldn't even tell you what that says. But Penny, let's take a time out. We'll explain this on the other side of the break here. 1-866-823-1077. Attorney Penny Dean joining us here on Second Amendment Tuesdays here on Bulldog Live with me, your host, Bulldog Brian Tilton on the Pulse.
Bulldog Live will continue after these messages live on the Pulse.